hands. Isn't it wonderful to have the Word of God? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be in Psalm 119 today, but I want to read a couple of verses before we get to our text. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He inspired, He breathed into it life. The Spirit of God moved the writers to write these words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is not only important, it's essential. It's vital. And it's also just as important that your doctrine come from inspired Scripture. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for reproof. That means you don't always do what you're supposed to do. I know that's a revelation to some of you, but the Word of God is the source for what it is we're to believe and what we're to do and what we're to believe. It's profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews, keep going to the right. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. It means it's alive. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All right, keep going to the right. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this, that no prophecy, no utterance of God through His prophets, through His writers, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then go back to Romans. If you have difficulty finding the book of Romans, you need to come tonight at 6 o'clock, and we can definitely help you with that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. Faith is activated. Faith is engaged upon hearing. And what is it that we hear? Hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God and faith go together. You can't separate one from the other. If you separate faith from the Word of God becomes dead letters. If you separate the Word of God from faith, faith produces dead works. It's not alive. It doesn't function. Faith has to have the Word of God. Faith is based on what God said. It's not a shot in the dark. It's not a step into nothingness. Faith steps out on the most surest foundation that you have, the Word of God. Okay. Now, Psalm 119. Verse 73. Psalm 119, verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that the judgments, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto thee, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Psalm 119 is a very, very unique chapter of God's Word. The subject of the entire chapter is the Bible itself. All 176 verses have some mention of the Word of God in every verse, in one of 10 descriptions. Law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, way, truth, and righteousness. They all refer to God's Word. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, following the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117, which says that the truth of the Lord endures forever. And also following the exact middle verse of the Bible, which is Psalm 118, verse 8, which says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So sometime around the end of June, you should be somewhere in the vicinity of Psalm 118, verse 8. If you're not, you need to speed up. If you're way past that, you might want to slow down a little bit, all right, if you're reading the Bible through once in the entire year. I know some retired folks that to make up for the years they didn't do that, they read the Bible through twice every year. Now, that sounds like a daunting task, but you're talking about reading about 20 minutes a day. To read the Bible through in a year takes about 20. If you're a faster reader, a little shorter. If you're a slower reader, even reading at the pace that I just read and Brother Gary read in the reading, that takes about 20 to 25 minutes. Okay? So if you don't have 20 minutes a day for God, we need to speak. We need a conversation. So to read the Bible through twice is about 40 to 45 minutes a day. So retired people have that time available. They don't have anything to do. And you notice all the older folks are the ones that's laughing. All right, there are 22 paragraphs or divisions in chapter 119. Each section is a stanza made up of 8 verses. And if you'll notice in your Bible, there's either a strange symbol or strange words or both at the beginning of each section. What that is the Hebrew alphabet. There's only 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet because there are no vowels. So the pronunciation of the consonants are determined in Hebrew by 5 different sets of dots and dashes either below or beside the letters. So all 8 verses of each section begin with the letter of that alphabet letter that's on the top of that section. For instance, in verses 1 to 8, every verse would begin with the letter Aleph or the English letter A. Then verses 9 to 16 with Bet, or the English letter B, all the letters would begin with that. It made it easier to memorize and to sing. And Hebrew children in their school would learn the alphabet, and while they were learning the alphabet, they learned these truths by memorizing and meditating on one verse a day twice a year. They memorized and they thought and meditated one verse a day, twice a year. And so under the Hebrew lunar calendar, you could go through the whole chapter twice a year or in two semesters of school. In music, Brother Jeff, there are seven tones of notes, C, D, E, F, G, A, and B. Then the eighth note of a scale represents the first tone back to C. So that eighth tone is called an octave. It's an eighth. Psalm 119 is also progressive. It begins with David as a young man, like Adam was. And it advances in age, so like Brother Gary was. What Psalm 119 is David's journal or statements that he's made about God's Word, probably as he reads it. It's a very good idea to have a little notebook, something to write on as you read God's Word, because I promise you, He will speak to you through these words. And when He does, write it down. The older you get, the more important it is to write it down, or it will be gone. All right, so keep that notebook. If you have questions, write those questions down as you read the Word of God. Now, remember that one of the names of Jesus Christ in Revelation is Alpha and Omega. That's in the Greek alphabet. That's the letters A and Z. So what the Holy Spirit is saying of Jesus is that He's the entire alphabet from A to Z, and all the letters of the alphabet in between. All the letters of the alphabet are what form words that communicate thoughts and knowledge and truth that allows us to understand what God requires of us. Jesus is the outward expression of the invisible God. To see Him in these words by faith is to see God the Father. Jesus said in Luke 24 that these words are they which testify of Me. The living Word is inseparable from the written Word. They're one and the same. These words come from the heart and the mind of God, and it reveals His truth, His character, His plan by His indwelling Spirit who bears witness to the truth. In John, over in his letter, first letter, he begins it by saying, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." He said, "Our hands have handled the word of truth. Our eyes have seen it." The being of God is transcendent. He is beyond our comprehension. We are a finite, limited creature. He is infinite, eternal, and omnipresent. That's way beyond our limits. That's beyond this satanic pride that's such a besetting sin in Laodicea. That pride of knowledge, pride of achievement, pride of position, pride of school, pride of resume, pride of a fallen intellect that is reliant upon and dependent upon and pushes faith aside as irrelevant and convinces itself that it knows everything there is to know about God. 1 Corinthians 1 says, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Preaching is foolishness. That's why the world wants to hear teaching. The preached message of Christ crucified will always be a stumbling block to the Jews, and it will always be foolishness to Greeks. And what we've attempted to do is remove the foolishness of the preaching so that we will appear to be wise to a stupid world. So here's the test. Does our faith respond and become engaged to preaching? Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Preach it. Because there's going to come a time, he said, that people are not going to want to listen to it. They won't endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. Teachers that appeal to the intellect. Teachers that have itching ears. That teach what you want to hear. So that you will continue supporting their ministry. Oh, I think Dr. Stumpjumper is just so wonderful. And Dr. Chin Whiskers, he just so moves. And the focus is on the preachers and the messengers instead of the message. I don't like all that yelling. I don't think it's the yelling you don't like. I think what's being yelled is what you don't like. Because I don't see that problem in football games. Oh, that was a wonderful touchdown. Yeah. Yeah, that's how y'all do it. John said, the word became flesh. And dwelt among us. He said the Word was with God and the Word was God. So when Paul said, Timothy, preach the Word, he's saying, preach Jesus Christ. The invisible God of creation could now be seen. Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. He could not only be seen, but he could be heard. He could be grasped and comprehended as a human being. And by faith, his words could be understood by the Holy Spirit. John couldn't get over it. John could not get over that God was there. Emmanuel, God with us. He never got over it. He never got over that childlike enthusiasm. I'm afraid we have. I'm afraid when we hear the gospel, it's... heard that before. At any time, we can pick up the word. And we can see and hear God. It's amazing. The author of these words indwells us, and every time he comes in contact with this that he's produced, he bears witness to it. And when it's not his truth, you don't hear an amen coming from him. So, the subject of Psalm 119 is the Word of God, or we could call it the ABCs of the praise, love, power, and the use of the Word of God. In verses 1 to 8, under Aleph, we saw that the Word of God is the source of happiness to those who walk by it. Verses 9 to 16, Bet, we saw that the Word of God is holiness to those who give heed to it. Verses 17 to 24, Gimel, we saw that that the Word of God is truth to those whose eyes the Lord opens by His Spirit. Verses 25 to 32, Dalet. We saw that the Word of God is the law to those whose heart the Lord renews. Verses 33 to 40, Ki. We saw that the Word of God is a stabilizing force to those who apply themselves to it. Verses 41 to 48, Fal. We saw that the Word of God is the foundation of God's promised mercies. Verses 49 to 56, Thane, we saw that the Word of God is a source of comfort during evil days. verses 57 to 64, we saw Heth, that the Word of God describes for me my inheritance. Last year, verses 65 to 72, we saw Tet, that the Word of God is a revelation of the goodness of God. And so 2019, we see verses 73 to 80, Yod, that the Word of God is right and produces an influence on others through us. So verses 73 to 80 is the 10th stanza of the 22 stanzas. So that means we're almost halfway. Next year we'll be halfway, which means we'll finish Psalm 119 in the year 2031. And not to worry, we'll probably be finished with Romans by then as well. Each of these eight verses in Hebrew begin with the 10th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Yod, which looks like an apostrophe. That's for those of you that have just recently went to school. That's a comma up above the line. When you have a contraction, you put an apostrophe there. That's what this looks like. Okay? Remember, the Lord referred to it as a jot. And then a tittle is one of those little pronunciations in it beside a consonant that tells you how to pronounce it. That's the tittle. He said, not one jot, not one tittle of the law will be removed. He said, not even the pronunciation mark is going to be removed from the law. It's the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. But the subject of these eight verses is definitely not small. The subject is our personal experience with God and with His Word that becomes an influence on other people. David said in verse 75, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right. I know God's Word is right, he's saying. Do we know that? Do we have a firm conviction that what we hold in our hands is right? Well, no, it's only right in the original. Where is the original? It doesn't exist because it's written on newspaper type paper, papyrus. Plus, if it did exist, it'd be under glass in a museum under the Vatican with being charged $50 a whack to look at it. No. There is no original. But God, who gave the original, is God enough to preserve the original. Right? And His Holy Spirit bears witness when it's His Word or a counterfeit. I know God's Word is right. God gave me understanding, David said in verse 73, to learn His Word in order to teach others. Why are we learning God's Word? To hang a certificate on the wall? No. It's to be able to know how to live. Verse 74, he said that God's Word produces hope of what's going to take place in the future. Verse 76, he said God's Word produces comfort, strength during times of weakness. In verse 77, he said God's Word produces delight. It's a delight to read and to study and to hear God's Word. Is it? Is it the first thing you pick up in the morning? Or is it your phone? Verse 78, the Word of God gives me the source material for all of my thoughts that I need to think on, to meditate on. Verse 79, and here it is. God's Word that has produced all these things in me influences other people that we come in contact with every day. So you have to ask, does it? Am I being used of God in that way? And then verse 80. God's Word produces a sound heart. A heart that's right with God because we're doing what God has created us for. What He's designed us for. What He's saved us for. And one day when we stand before Him, we won't be ashamed. Well, God's Word is powerful. Hebrews 4 says. As far as David goes, verse 73, he desires to be taught so that he can teach. Verse 74, he anticipates ahead what his testimony, how God is going to use him. Verse 75, he knows the training will be difficult. You say, preacher, it's hard what I'm having to go through with. Yeah, but it'll make what you're going to have to go through with later easier. Verse 76, he prays for comfort during trials. Verse 77, he prays for mercy from setbacks. Verse 78, he prays for ability to apply God's Word to persecution and adversity. In verse 79, he prays for fellowship from God's people. In verse 80, he prays that he would be enabled and equipped for his work that God has called him to do. You notice all of those last five verses begin with the word let. Lord, he's praying, Lord, would you in your providence allow this to take place in my life? Do you pray to move the heart of God? Do you ask for things from Him in order that you can be a better servant? When you're praying, does your prayer life model David's here? He's asking God to bless him so that he can be a blessing to others. He's asking for understanding so that he can explain God's Word to others. One of the many unbiblical false doctrines that charismaticism teaches is how to get a blessing from God for yourself, for your purpose, for your pleasure. That's not what the blessings of God are designed for. No, it's to receive from God so that we can give to somebody else. Revelation 4, verse 11. This is a good reminder when we feel sort of a pity party coming on. Revelation 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God created things to serve His purpose, not ours. Romans 8, 28, we know, we have a knowledge that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So everything that happens in our life happens for His purpose. That's why what we're calling bad things, God works them into good things because it serves His purpose. He said, verse 73, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Hebrews 11 begins after defining what faith is by saying, through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. Not by human reasoning and because I'm so smart. No. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We know that. We know God created all things. We know God created us. That's where understanding begins. And if you hadn't got there, you won't get anywhere else. Colossians 1:16 says, by Him, by the Word, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Well, I don't really like that. Well, go out and create something yourself. Create the wing of a fly. He created all things for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The being of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit created all things from nothing. He is the living, eternal being behind the intelligent design of the universe, both its beginning and end, and everything in between. If you get that, you're well on your way of understanding so that you can learn God's Word instead of ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, as 2 Timothy says. And the purpose for learning and understanding God's Word is so that you'll do what it says. Oh, I know I've got several books committed to memory. Oh, that's wonderful. And you live like the devil. In doing what God's Word says, that means you'll be used of God to be an influence on others, for them to learn and understand what God's Word, so that they'll do what God's Word says. Oh, that poor, ignorant East Texas preacher over there in Burton. We're not under God's law, so we don't have to obey it anymore. Who's the one that's poor and ignorant? To not be under God's law means we're justified and we're no longer condemned by God's law. Doesn't mean we're free now to sin. To follow the leading of the Holy Spirit means that He's leading us into truth and in the obedience of the truth, not the disobedience of it. Plus, inside of us, there's a holy desire and delight to do what God's Word says. Isn't there? Verse 77, you see that? It's my delight. Is it? I know God's Word is right. Do you? If you did, you would not only believe it, but you'd be living it in the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Are you? If you believe it and you're living it, other people are going to see you do that. And it's going to influence them. And that's why God created us in verse 73. So that we would be used to magnify His Word, His communication, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who cannot hear His voice, that cannot see Him, that cannot imagine Him. This is good for teaching. It's bad for preaching. God saved us not to build up a wall around ourselves and isolate ourselves. from the world. God saved us to go into the world, but not be of the world, and to manifest His presence, to manifest His light in the darkness. And in order to do that, we have to know what God's Word says. In order to know what God's Word says, we have to pray, and we have to stick our nose in it, and we have to read it, and we have to show up to be discipled. Disciple means being taught. It means learning. Okay?
Oh, well, I can just go on the internet and do that.
How's that working for you? Produced confusion? God's Word is my delight. I know God's Word is right. But why aren't we in it more? Why aren't we living it more? Why isn't more people being influenced? Well, but you say they get mad. That's an influence. If you hadn't said anything or done anything, they'd never get mad. I get worried when they don't get mad that maybe I wasn't plain enough. But when they get mad enough, they'll think about what you said or did. And then the Holy Spirit does what we cannot do. He does a work in their heart. Now, is that what we're praying for every morning as we read God's Word? God, give me an understanding so that I can explain the gospel better to somebody that's lost, so that I can encourage a younger Christian more, so that I can get a younger Christian up to the next step. Is what you're praying, is it so that you can get something from God to give to somebody else? Or is it so that you'll keep it and have it? Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that our eyes can see and our hands can handle of the Word of life. Lord, thank You that a being such as You have revealed Yourself to be, that's incomprehensible, has become comprehended through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your humiliation, for Your humbleness to descend from the perfections of heaven, where angels sang praises to You, to come and to be humiliated and mocked and laughed and scourged and nailed on a cross. And Lord, the only explanation You gave us was because You loved us and You gave and delivered up Your Son for us all. Lord, thank You for doing that in my place. And then, Lord, You explained why You did it in Your Word. Lord, open my eyes. Open my ears to Your Word. May the focus not be on me. May the focus not be on my problems. May the focus not be on my family and all the drama that's going on in my family. May the focus not be what I'm doing. May the focus be You and everything we say and do. And then, Lord, as You bring others into our circle of influence, may they see You, may they hear You in what we say and do. And then, Spirit of God, give us understanding to do what You have called us to do. Lord, we pray for our families. Lord, they so desperately need to see a godly example lived out before them in their homes. Lord, would You give parents, Lord, a desire to live outwardly before their children what You're putting in inwardly. Lord, would You restore the love that's in marriages so that children will see love displayed instead of animosity and strife and arguing. Lord, set the solitary in families, the unity in families. Lord, we pray for our church family for the same thing. Lord, may You be the one that's preeminent. Not calendar events, not programs, not methods, but You and Your Word. Lord, this next year, may this morning we dedicate, and as do as Daniel did, may we purpose in our heart that we're not going to desecrate ourselves with things of the world. But Lord, we're going to purpose in our heart, instead of being defiled, Lord, to be under Your righteous influence. Instead of being defiled, that we would be more like You. Lord, would You keep in our minds and our hearts the Word of God? May that be what we think about and focus on. Lord, we love You, and we're here this morning to worship You. But Lord, You said if we loved You, we would keep Your commandments. We would do what Your Word tells us to do. So may we resolve with Your power, with Your strength, to be the servant You saved us to be this year, and to do what You've called us to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.